Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Thursday, January 29th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Have you ever imagined what it's like to conduct an orchestra?
Big part of our work is also to show the dynamics of the music. But at the end of the day, really what's most important is for the conductor to be the music.
Coming up, we'll speak with Stylian Kirov. He's the conductor of the Bakersfield Symphony Orchestra, and he recently announced he's extending his time with the orchestra, including celebrating its 100th anniversary. But first, these headlines. Fresno County supervisors are aiming to place a tax measure to fund transportation projects on the November ballot. This would compete with a similar measure being led by community groups and leaders of some Fresno County cities. The competing efforts arose after a plan to renew a previous transportation tax measure fell apart this month. Measure C expires next year, and a renewal was scheduled to be placed on the November ballot. Instead, the renewal efforts split over policy differences. A bill to make it easier for Californians to sue ICE agents for civil rights violations is one step closer to law. After it won approval of the state Senate on Tuesday, Guy Maserati with our California newsroom partner KQED has more.
San Francisco State Senator Scott Wiener says federal courts have limited legal claims against federal officers, such as the agents who killed Renee Good and Alex Preddy in Minneapolis.
If the federal government won't hold these agents accountable for violating the Constitution, we will.
The bill written by Wiener would create a new pathway to sue federal officials. Santa Clarita Republican Suzette Martinez-Valadares cited opposition from police groups and said the bill will just bring
more litigation and more risk for those on the front lines.
The bill passed the Senate on a party line vote and now moves to the state assembly.
That was Guy Maserati with KQED. State regulators have been tasked for years with finding ways to reduce pollution in the Kings County town of Kettleman City. Now, draft regulations are out after years of delay in a community that is considered one of the most polluted in the San Joaquin Valley. KVPR's Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado reports.
Kettleman City is located right off Interstate 5 on the western edge of the San Joaquin Valley. The draft regulations come from the Department of Toxic Substance Control, or DTSC. They seek to address the town's many sources of pollution. Those include traffic, pesticides, and the West Coast's largest hazardous waste landfill, located a few miles outside of town. California enacted a law a decade ago that was supposed to protect people from so-called cumulative impacts of pollution, that is, effects from pollution that comes from multiple sources. New reporting by CalMatters finds draft regulations are finally out 7 years late, and community members are questioning their effectiveness on top of the delay. A spokeswoman for the DTSC told our news partner the delay was due to regulators needing to incorporate feedback from an earlier attempt to draft the regulation. For KVPR News, I'm Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado.
Farmland belonging to the prominent Assemi family has been sold for $14 million to a Fresno area jeweler. The Fresno Bee reports the sale was for 330 acres of land in West Fresno, known as Mission Ranch. The deal was made through a court-appointed receiver. The property is part of thousands of acres of land that will be sold as part of a lawsuit against the Assemi family for alleged breach of contracts. Members of the Assemi family own massive nut-growing operations in the region, as well as the housing developer Granville Homes and the news outlet GV Wire.
Few things in life are certain, but astronomical auto repair bills, that's a sure thing. If the time has come to say goodbye to your old ride, consider donating it to KVPR. The process is free, it'll help fund the independent reporting you rely on, and you'll get a tax break. Visit kvpr.org/cars today for more information and to start the donation process.
And now to our main story. the Bakersfield Symphony Orchestra is a longtime pillar of the classical music world in Kern County, and the orchestra's conductor has just renewed his contract. Stylian Kirov will usher the orchestra through to its 100th anniversary in 2032 as both conductor and music director. I spoke to Stylian to discuss his plans for the orchestra, but also to explain what exactly do conductors do up there on stage. He starts our conversation with a little bit of his background with the orchestra and why he decided to stay.
I have joined the orchestra in 2015 after about 2 years search, I believe. And during this search, we had the opportunity to perform together. And I really fell in love with the community. I thought that the musicians are very nice, that the whole atmosphere in the orchestra was very nice. And I really felt that this is an orchestra that can grow tremendously, both artistically and financially. And when I was offered the job, I was absolutely thrilled. I loved the opportunity to be here, to make music. And really, over the years, we have grown together. I feel we are in a fantastic place right now. We have a great administration. We have a lot of support from the community. We have extraordinary musicians, some quite fabulous educational programs. And it's really an orchestra that will keep growing. It's a gem for our city here in Bakersfield. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be part of the team.
So your contract extension means that you'll see the Bakersfield Symphony Orchestra through its 100th anniversary in 2032. What kind of mark are you hoping to make in that time, especially because we'll be marking such a significant anniversary?
Right. And this is a great milestone for any organization, 100 years. And my hope is really that we are able to continue growing the orchestra, to add more concerts, more performances, to create more programs for young musicians in Bakersfield, and continue building based on what we have built in these past 10 years. Of course, we always strive for better and better quality of the music we present and the better artistic quality of the orchestra, but also financially and administratively, we want to grow for the sake of providing this cultural infrastructure to the city.
And it's worth noting you're also currently the music director for the Illinois Philharmonic Orchestra and kind of split your time. I'm curious if where an orchestra is performing influences what type of music will be performed. Like, do areas have different tastes? How do you decide?
Absolutely. That's a very good question, actually. And you know, a lot of orchestras go through so-called strategic planning. We are doing it once in a while everywhere. And the area determines a lot of what the face of the orchestra will be or what the orchestra will be presenting. Hmm. We are all focused around classical music, obviously, and we present classical music. But there are places where a little newer music will be much more of an interest to the community. And there are other places where a little bit more traditional classical pieces will make more sense. And so we want to really look at the big picture of what the community needs. I think there are universal parts, that education being one of them. Every orchestra wants to provide education and inspiration to younger musicians and students. And then the other is local artists. In every place, we try to have local artists or the musicians of the orchestra as soloists. Oh. And this definitely brings the community together. And of course, the third part is collaborations as well. So you want to find opportunities to collaborate with local groups. And really, in my opinion, every orchestra should be a cultural hub for the area where they're performing.
I think it's worth noting, too, for folks who don't know, you studied conducting at Juilliard and at a conservatory in Paris. You're originally from Bulgaria, and you've worked with orchestras in Seattle, Memphis, New Jersey, Florida, many different places. Obviously, music is universal, but how has your exposure to just different places around the world informed your work and what you bring to your work every day?
Yeah, I feel very lucky that I have had the chance to be in different places. Obviously, you know, when I was in Europe, I was learning a lot. I was still very young, and this was part of my education. But after I finished my master's in conducting and also bachelor's in composition, I had the chance to work in an opera house close to Paris in a small town. And this was very eye-opening because as an assistant conductor, I had the chance not only to conduct the orchestra in different occasions, but also to participate in the daily operations. I was kind of the librarian. Mm-hmm. I would also move instruments around and set up the stage. So I was the operation person. And this, although I can say it was not easy, was very helpful in my development so that I understand what the different roles in the orchestras are and have appreciation for their work as well. And then when I came to the United States, you know, this was absolutely a phenomenal experience being in Juilliard, studying with Maestro James DePriest. It was a dream come true. And after Juilliard, I still had to apply for assistant conductor positions. You know, this involved a lot of travel, a lot of trying to get your first job, really. And during this time, I would also teach piano and play organ in churches in New York. So this was part of forming who we are as artists, and it's part of the growth process. And then I got the assistant position in Memphis. I learned a lot there, and later on in Seattle, which is a bigger orchestra, and that was also quite a phenomenal experience. And of course, working with a first-class orchestra was very inspiring, and it was a great opportunity to learn.
Okay, lastly, this might seem like a silly question, but I was wondering if you could tell us what a few of the motions mean when you're conducting, because when I think of a conductor, I think of them, you know, gesticulating and moving all over the place. I've seen it myself, right. But I never really know what they're cueing to the orchestra. Are there any basic movements that you could relay to people just so we have a better idea of what you're actually telling the musicians?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a very good question. Well, a lot of the work that you see at the performance happens during the rehearsal process, right? So we gather together and we have two or three rehearsals, and then we are performing what we have rehearsed together. And this is the time where we can clarify the tempo, how fast the music is, mm-hmm. or how loud, how soft, what we are trying to say with the music, which for me is the most important part. But when it comes down to the way I communicate, you know, at the performance, obviously I cannot speak, right? So mm-hmm. there are certain universal rules. And one is, of course, setting up the tempo, so how fast the beat will be. And this is crucial. As simple as it is how fast the music will go. And if it's too fast, obviously, it's not going to sound good. And if it's too slow, it's also not going to sound good. So there is this kind of discretionary aspect to our work. But with the experience, you become better and better in this. Mm-hmm. So one is we set up the tempo. Big part of our work is also to show the dynamics of the music. But at the end of the day, really what's most important is for the conductor to be the music. So if you transcend the music through yourself, and of course you have a very clear technique, I think it helps tremendously the musicians so that the final results can be achieved with less talking, more playing, and you're able to communicate as much as possible through your gestures without needing to talk. I think that's a good goal to have.
Stylian Kirov, music director and conductor of the Bakersfield Symphony Orchestra. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thank you so much. Same here. Really appreciate it and hope to welcome you to one of our concerts.
The Bakersfield Symphony Orchestra season is ongoing, and you can find their calendar of upcoming events at bsonow.org. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.